Afghans who help coalition forces fight the Taliban have been left in limbo after the US halted some immigration processing over the weekend. According to a State Department cable seen by Reuters, US President Donald Trump's administration has ordered its diplomats worldwide to stop processing visas for Afghan nationals. It comes after the shooting in Washington, D.C. last week of two members of the National Guard, which left one dead. Authorities say the alleged shooter was an Afghan national. Sean Van Diver is a US military veteran and founder and president of Afghan Evac, an organisation that works to evacuate Afghans to the United States and coalition countries.
Good morning. Thank you so much. So glad to be here, Sally.
Sean, how would you describe the public narrative around this deadly shooting of National Guard members and the response from the White House?
Well, listen, I think broadly in the public, people believe that this is a tragic event that has occurred and these poor guardsmen have been killed and injured. And we wish for the one who's still fighting for his life to make a speedy recovery. The White House, however, is trying to turn this into a political cudgel. They're trying to use this tragic event as a political cudgel to justify the things that they were already trying to do, namely kicking out and preventing from coming to the United States Afghans and other immigrants from all around the world who are fleeing grave danger. And it's really an unconscionable thing to watch. We were really worried that that was exactly what would happen because we've heard the president talk before. And that's why we were out there front and center saying, we cannot let the actions of one deranged individual wipe away all of the great work that so many Afghans have done for not just the U.S., but our allied forces through our longest war, 20 years in Afghanistan.
What have the discussions been like in the veteran community in the U.S.? Because obviously there's this, you know, deep concern and grief for one guardsman killed and the other significantly injured, but also there's been a lot of support from the veteran community to get those who worked with U.S. and allied forces safely out of Afghanistan.
That's right. Well, multiple things can be true at the same time, right? On one hand, we are, of course, absolutely devastated that these two guardsmen were shot. And it can also be true that we're angry at this man. But also there's some empathy, right? There's some empathy that for the entire Afghan community whose that man's actions are being used to ascribe intent to an entire community. And we have some empathy around, you know, that guy since age 15 was fighting our wars with elite units. Look, I don't think it's a stretch to think that PTSD may play a role here. The Associated Press was reporting that he had years of mental health struggles. In fact, some people had tried to help him, and he refused help. So there's anger with him. There's no justification for the actions that he took, and he needs to be held accountable to the full extent of the law. And also, it's a commentary on our mental health crisis that we have globally, not just here in America, and the unseen wounds of war. And, you know, if this had been a United States military veteran that had done this atrocious action, the president wouldn't be calling for a removal of all veterans. In fact, in September, two U.S. military veterans did commit two mass shootings within 13 hours of each other. And nobody called for their removal, right? For the removal of all veterans, because that's not how you handle these things. How you handle this is you identify, isolate, and excise individuals who wish to do our communities harm, no matter what community they're from. And then you support communities with broad mental health and psychosocial services and all of that.
Sean, it's been 4 years since the fall of Kabul and the return of the Taliban. What's your understanding of the numbers of Afghans who worked with coalition forces and their families who still remain in Afghanistan and are trying to get out?
Sure. So I can speak with great alacrity to the U.S. numbers. There are 265,000 Afghans who served the U.S. mission who are still trying to come here, including 180,000 in the special immigrant visa bucket, 35,000 of which are principal applicants and the balance are families. Then the balance of the 265,000 are refugees, about 65,000 of those, and then the family reunification is the other bucket. So there are a lot that still need to come here, and they were on their way before President Trump took over. But on day one, he shut all of the relocations down. We had 5,000 a month coming out, and he shut all the relocations down. So he has not taken care of this population since he's been in office. And in fact, they've been looking for ways to ratchet it down since day one.
What do you think about that?
I think it's awful. I think it's un-American. I think when an American or anybody in the alliance makes a promise on behalf of our country, that we need to know that that promise means something, right? The president is turning us into liars. And we thought that it was maybe just Stephen Miller, the president didn't know, but it's clear now that the president has known all along and he just hasn't cared. And that is atrocious. And he's up there on the podium lying to people about the vetting. The vetting has been extraordinary since day one. It is absolutely not true that these folks were unvetted. In fact, anybody who got on a plane to the U.S. was fully vetted, because they flew out of Kabul to a third country where they were vetted and vetted and vetted. And then before they flew to the U.S., they were vetted. Then when they got to the U.S., they went under continuous vetting. And then anytime they made an application or had to do a change in status, like this guy did, they were vetted again. The Trump administration signed off on his vetting in April, as early or as recently as April of 2025.
Should there be an improvement in the quality of security checks or vetting given this incident?
Well, I don't know that there was anything to catch, right? The National Counterterrorism Center came out and said that he had passed all the vetting. You can't do pre-crime. I don't know. I think that this is something that happened in the time frame between his getting status and frankly, you know, we're really glad that this hasn't happened more, because the Afghans have been treated like absolute trash from this administration. They've been at every turn, there's something thrown in their way, and they didn't do anything wrong, right? Now, this guy clearly did something wrong, and he needs to be held to account. But can you imagine if you'd been told your family's just within reach for 4.5 years and they just wouldn't reunite you, or they just wouldn't give you status, you're stuck in limbo? That does something to you. And we're really lucky that so many of these folks are so loyal to us. And it's just an unnecessary shame. And frankly, it puts our country's national security at risk. There's another piece to this that I think is important. And that's that not only did they put all these roadblocks in the way of Afghans, but President Trump, through DOGE and through Kristi Noem's realignment of resources and Pam Bondi's realignment of resources within both Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice, they sort of did away with all of the programs that were meant to protect us domestically. So all of the domestic security programs that would detect lone wolf shooters, for example, or other community safety, they cut to blue states, to Democrat majority states, they cut public safety funding by 69% to 79% because of political pettiness on behalf of the president.
Sean Van Diver, thank you for joining me again on Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.